You're listening to The Tech Agenda with Ian Kyo, powered by PwC. The Currency.news. It pays to be curious.
How do you reinvent your business model to remain relevant and to protect your company for the future? It's a question that many CEOs are trying to answer. And they're trying to answer it at a time of major change, disruption and transformation, from technological advancements to shifting geopolitical sands to heightened economic uncertainty. In this episode of The Tech Agenda, we're going to discuss the business of business reinvention. And we're going to do it with Amy Ball, Transformation Leader with PwC Ireland. Amy, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much for having me, Ian.
It's a broad church, the business of business reinvention. But let's try and put some context on it, where we're coming from. So PwC has just published its 2025 Irish CEO survey. There's a lot of details in it. There's a lot to unpack. But a couple of key themes come out of it. Business leaders are optimistic, but at the same time, they're cautious about the wider trends and uncertainties.
Mm-hmm. So the CEO survey is our annual survey, and we run it at a global level, and then we localise it for Ireland, where we poll a number of CEOs locally. And back to your point around this balance between cautious optimism.
Because I read it, yeah. Amy, and I was kind of going, there was a lot of we're gung-ho for the future, we're investing, we're ready, and then actually we're concerned about this, we're concerned about talent, the geopolitical stuff. There was that.
And there is a lot of uncertainty, geopolitical changes, macroeconomic trends. And 29% of Irish CEOs have said that they don't believe their organisations will be viable within the next 10 years unless they make radical changes or reinvent their business model. But the corollary of that is that 71% of CEOs have great optimism about the next 10 years and the viability of their business. And they're making strides to make sure that their products and services are in demand out in the market and that they're scaling appropriately from an organisational and operational perspective.
So positive, but a bit of cautiousness.
A bit of cautiousness
there as well. Mm-hmm. I suppose the key question here, I think people are asking themselves, and you gave a very stark number of people worried about their business model. I suppose it shows some foresight to realise that their model could be changed. But how can people have that conversation with themselves? How do they know if they have a problem?
Well, you know, most CFOs would flag to the CEO that either the revenue is falling short of expectation or costs are increasing out of line with revenue. So margins are getting tighter. And most CEOs who responded to the survey did realise that they needed to move into new markets. And almost 32% of Irish CEOs have already made a foray into other sectors and expanded their product and service offerings. However, many of them have said that they're concerned about the availability of key skills to match and meet that demand, with 91% citing that as a major concern.
Just keeps on coming up again and again.
Like talent, the talent agenda is coming up in every conversation we're having with organisations right now, particularly in the context of availability of skilled workforce and the changing skills that are required of that workforce. I think AI and Gen AI in particular has created a lot of uncertainty, the known unknowns per se, and a sense that organisations need to grasp it, grasp the concepts, think about implementing AI in a careful,
trusted
manner.
I will come back to that, Amy, because I think it's worth further discussion. But I just want to ask you about the pace of transformation, because when you look around, it seems with all of the change going on, I mentioned them at the start, that just things seem to be happening at a greater pace and a greater scale than ever before. What's your advice to companies to try and deal with this?
Well, it really does come down to the culture and tone from the top. And innovation is a cultural experience as opposed to one or two people at the side of their desk discussing, you know, changes to the organisation and the operating model. So that has to, that culture of innovation has to permeate across all levels
so
in an organisation.
It's not just an edict, the CEO and the CFO thinking, actually, we're now going into this area and we're now a people business.
Exactly. And in many cases, it's the next generation, the more junior people who have the bright ideas, who are, you know, digital natives, who understand the role of technology in enabling business transformation. But The other part is that when innovation happens, it has to be promoted and rewarded within an organisation, and that people who challenge the status quo have to be recognised as change leaders and change champions, and that investment is made and allocated appropriately in new products, markets, but most particularly in resourcing and capability. And so a huge focus is on the people agenda.
The people agenda, it just keeps on coming up, as we said, and an area people are finding hard. Mm-hmm. Just bringing on from that point, I mean, it did come across, you mentioned at the start, the number of Irish business leaders who were competing in new markets, but there's still 33%, a third thereabouts, not competing in new markets. It's kind of points towards a lack of agility for a lot of businesses.
Yeah, and if you think about Ireland, we're a small, open economy, very reliant on foreign direct investment, yet we're highly creative, highly innovative, highly respected for our talent. And we've come through a lot. We've lived through many downturns. COVID, I think, promoted a confidence amongst organisations that they can be resilient and be optimistic with good results coming from the last few years. And really, one of the key areas of focus now for leaders in organisations is ensuring that with the pace of change that's evident to everybody, that they need to keep up. And that means taking risks, taking informed decisions to progress the agenda of, you know, cutting certain products and services, you know, making tough decisions in certain areas of the business and reallocating resources from one side of the business to the other.
You make it sound so simple, but for a lot of the companies, that's a big thing. You know, a lot of people go in every day and they keep trucking along, mm-hmm. they keep making the same decisions.
Yeah.
And that sort of making a step change in the business model is a very hard thing to do.
It is. But if you can set the vision and if everybody can understand the rationale for making such changes, most people are used to an increased pace of change. You know, I think Irish people in particular are very early adopters of technology. We are very comfortable in discussing Gen AI. We've had numerous clients come through our Gen AI business centre. And actually, the conversations have moved from, oh, tell me a little bit about what AI is, to actually, we understand the concept. Now we need to understand what the governance framework is. What does the EU AI Act mean? What do we need to do in terms of getting ready? What do we need to do with our data, our processes, our people? They're far more advanced than we appreciate. And I think as a result, Irish companies are very well positioned to take advantage of maybe the laggards in other economic areas.
Well, AI is transformation. I think there was some really interesting insights from the survey. I think it said, I think to sum it up, Irish CEOs had somewhat mixed views on AI and Gen AI so far. So I'm just looking here. 44% reported efficiency gains, 31% reported that revenue increases, and 24% saw profitability increases. Just based upon your interaction with these companies and those doing it, what should business leaders be thinking about now when they're looking at AI, but particularly Gen AI?
So when we did the survey 12 months ago, about 24% of CEOs felt that Gen AI was having an impact on their business. Now we're hearing that at least half of CEOs see it. And the reality is that...
Wow, that's...
It's you know, that's massive uptake in a period of 12 months. And there's an appreciation that employees want to engage with Gen AI. They want to use the tooling and they will use it irrespective of whether it's officially deployed in the company or not. Because if you think about tools like Copilot or ChatGPT, the productivity gains are measurable and actually proven through use cases in particular functional areas, particularly in customer service and agentic AI. And what we are seeing is that CIOs, CTOs, CEOs, CFOs, all of the leaders in the business are where they started with use cases to prove the concept and almost democratize Gen AI within their organization. They're now taking a portfolio view and they're looking at actually from an investment case, because it's not a cheap solution, they're aggregating processes and aggregating use cases to demonstrate an end-to-end impact and outcome with Gen AI. So to bring that to life, they're looking at, for example, in the area of finance, they're looking at record to report. So they're looking at how data is captured from an invoice all the way through to how it's reported on a P&L in an investor booklet that goes out to the PE house.
That's really interesting. I just want to pick you up on something you said there, because you were saying in some companies, a lot of companies, it was actually being pushed upwards by the employees. Mm-hmm. It would seem counter to the prevailing narrative, which is they're coming after our jobs. And we keep on hearing that, you know, the doomsday numbers of people who are going to lose their jobs because the robots are coming to get them.
I think the stats, the research would say AI and Gen AI can complement your job and complement your impact. And we see that in PwC, where we have rolled out Copilot to all of our employees. We have Chat PwC, which is a safe...
copyright.
paid for. a safe AI Copilot tool that our staff are using to create the first draft of a research paper or to research particular items of information. But we are now retraining our people to validate that, to authenticate the outcomes. And so the focus is changing. It's a little bit like, you know, before we had transactional level auditing, now we're moving into predictive controls and compliance. It's the same with Gen AI. We're making sure that everybody understands the processes and the data that underpin the outcomes and can test for and verify and get the trust.
If AI is one big transformer of business, I think another one that really bites true from the report is the issue of climate. Mm. And I just, on a headline, I mean, climate-related investments, according to the report, is 10 times more likely to result in increased revenue.
Yes.
I mean, that really is a push factor there.
It is. And it makes common sense. However, I think the jury had been out before whether it made economic sense. But more than 30% of Irish business leaders will accept a lower rate of return on climate-friendly investments. However, the stats would show that 31% are already seeing revenue increases and 10% are seeing cost reductions as a result of the climate measures that they're taking within their organisation.
Really shows, though, if you can get it right, it's upside, upside both ways.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Are business leaders here, compared to their international colleagues, are they moving fast enough, swift enough to deal with the change coming down the tracks?
I think they're grappling with the challenges. I think regulation is a massive challenge for many organisations, and the complexity of the business environment that they're working in. I mentioned the pace of change and uncertainty earlier, but when you bring all of that together, it's still impressive to see that Irish CEOs are not too far behind their global counterparts in terms of addressing the challenges that are facing them, and the optimism that they have, the resilience that they're demonstrating, to evidence that we should see some better results again in 12 months' time.
In 12 months, because even if you look at the change on AI and the number of adoption, they are changing, they are moving.
Yes.
When you're sitting down with businesses, Amy, mm-hmm. and they're broaching these, because this can be delicate discussions for them. You're looking at their business model. In many cases, I think their life's work.
Yes.
And you're saying you need to transition. You're not going to be relevant. Mm-hmm. How does that process look? How can you navigate them through it?
Well, the survey is a really good starting point for the conversation, because it's research-based evidence. And it isn't just a local survey. It reflects the views of global leaders. And many of our business leaders are very clued in as to what is happening out in the economic domain. They're not exactly, you know, shy about admitting that there's room for improvement. The real challenge for most leaders that I'm meeting with at the moment is how they can reorient their people. You know, how can they reallocate resources, whether it's money, whether it's people? And they appreciate that the capability and the investment in capability is of primary importance to them, and they are unsure how to start, where to begin.
Yeah. And let's just push it on. But so it's mm-hmm. a matter of sitting down and starting
exactly.
from the beginning and having a look at the full business.
Yeah. And then talking about, well, you know, in the context of many CEOs being concerned about the viability of their business, stripping that back to say, OK, what do you want your business to look like in 10 years' time? For that to be true, what needs to happen? What does that mean from a people, process, technology perspective? If we look at where we are today, where are the gaps to that vision? What are the interventions that you feel would help? How can we help from a technology transformation perspective? And you can't just, in the past, I would have said leaders focused on the cost side. Now there's a reorientation towards looking at revenue, new sources of revenue, optimizing for revenue in certain markets, expanding into new markets or new products and new offerings. And that's hard, particularly if they don't have a culture of innovation. And that's where it comes back to culture being the lifeblood of an organization, bringing people with you, getting people to buy into this new future.
Yeah, but if people are looking, finally, if people are looking at increasing revenues as opposed to just cutting costs, mm-hmm. it does come back to that point that we started this podcast with Amy, which is that there is an optimism and a willingness and a resilience there.
Yes, there are clear signs of innovation, and leaders who embrace a culture of innovation, leveraging technology for business outcomes, enabling their people, supporting their people through that change, will thrive. And we'll be here in 10 years' time.
Amy Ball, Transformation Leader with PwC Ireland, thank you very much for joining me here today.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Ian.
Thank you for listening to The Tech Agenda with Ian Keogh, powered by PwC, the currency.news. It pays to be curious.